Well, this is episode 167 with Kimberly O'Brien. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, and my mission is to help school administrators fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. I'm also the host of this podcast, where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show, I talk with Kimberly O'Brien, and we explore a number of interesting topics like tips for getting people in the mood for talking, why Kimberly's office cannot look like a principal's office, and the importance of a name and what it communicates. There's no podcast upgrade per se for this show, but there is a PDF, a very extensive PDF actually, that Kimberly shared for the listeners, and it goes through her Best of Friends social emotional learning program. I'm not affiliated with Quirky Kid at all. I don't make any money if you decide to invest in the program, but I do encourage you to check it out. I think it's pretty cool, and I enjoyed talking with Kimberly on this show, and I hope you enjoy listening. So thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hi, I'm Dan Krynas from the Leader of Learning podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure to check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready, because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey, Kimberly, thanks so much for joining me on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast today. I'd love to start here. And could you describe your perfect day at work?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor to be on your show. So today feels like a really good day to me. Like, I'll tell you from the beginning and then we'll get up to this part. So it's about 8 p.m. in Australia at the moment, and I live an hour south of Sydney. And so I started the day with a bike ride, and we live kind of at the top of a hill, and I've trained our dog to be able to run beside my bicycle. So the lead, I have to keep her on a lead just in case she chases cars. So it's about a meter long, so we're pretty close together when we go racing down this hill. And then there's a few roads to cross, so I put a, close by, and we get across the road, we get to the beach, and it's just a really nice way to start the day. Then I rode back again up the hill, got some exercise in. And then, yeah, I guess my perfect day is when things go smooth at home in the morning with our own two children. So we have a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old. And, yeah, it was a good morning, a good start. Things were organized. And then I had the majority of my clients either on Zoom calls or by phone this morning. So I had a pretty cruisy start to the day. And I'm a child psychologist, and so the clients that I work with are generally parents for the first session, and I listen to their stories for an hour and get the picture. And then I meet the child face-to-face at the clinic. So I had a child session this afternoon at the clinic, and that was a really beautiful session as well. I always feel just so honored to have that time with the young people. So drawing pictures, and had the mum in for part of the session talking about not threatening children with a wooden spoon. That was kind of the approach that she used when she was growing up. But for this young person that I was working with, it was just destroying the trust between mother and child.
Right.
Because she'd kind of put the wooden spoon behind her back and then call him over and say, come on, come here. And then she'd pull the wooden spoon out and surprise him. I think we've kind of addressed that issue. So that felt good, making progress there. And then home sweet home at the end of the day. And yeah, now this podcast. So it feels like it's been a really varied day and a really good one.
Sounds beautiful. You know, a lot of a lot of serving there, and then great family time. You're on your bike, and a lot of just great stuff happening. I'd love to see, you know, the dog running next to you there on the bike, and how that's going, you know, like a progress of, you know, day one through day 30, day 90, see how yes. the dog does. You know, but you talked about this session that went beautifully using your words with a child today. And I know you're a child psychologist, but what's the why? Why do you do what you do?
I think because I love spending time with children. So even if I'm having a stressful day, you know, trying to finish a report, like we do psychological assessments, and then sometimes you get caught up in the data and you're trying to interpret it and write recommendations and make it all, you know, make sense from something that doesn't always feel so clear, to then just kind of pinpointing it at the end to give really good recommendations for the parents to follow or for the teachers to maybe use in the classrooms. So if I'm writing a report, I find it very focused and serious sometimes. And then when a young person walks into the room and I've got a session with them, yeah, I just feel like everything changes. It just becomes a lot of fun. And we usually have a big ball of Play-Doh there on the table to start with. Just kind of, we both have a ball of Play-Doh each. And you just kind of like getting in the mood for talking. And it could be about mm-hmm. home or school or friends or family. It could be anything that they bring you. But yeah, it just always feels like, I'm just so glad that they're sharing their stories with me. And I just find that I'm right. usually like finding some part of the session funny, you know, there's usually some humor in there and then there's always a solution at the end. So yeah, I just love that sort of work with kids. It's really good.
Yeah. And we definitely have to have the ability, you know, to laugh at ourselves or make light at situations. I'm sure some heavy topics come up, but you know, something you just mentioned there with the Play-Doh, you know, getting in the mood for talking. And I think that, you know, you use the Play-Doh and you're playing just to build some rapport and, I don't know, take your mind off things, but it actually opens the kid up. But I'm wondering, first, correct me if I was wrong there, because that was probably like a really terrible way of describing why you use Play-Doh. So maybe you can describe that from a more clinical perspective instead of my layman's terms, which was terrible. But in addition to that, though, are there any tips that you might have for the listeners for getting people warmed up for conversation, right? Because I'm really fascinated by that.
Mm. Yeah, this is a good topic, because when we're training psychologists to come work at the clinic, like I realize that we have a very special approach when it comes to engaging young people in the waiting room and getting them to feel comfortable enough to come into the, you know, the clinic room, whether that's with or without their parents. And so just a couple of practical tips is, like, we always ask our psychologists to wear flat shoes, rubber-soled, so that there's not lots of clip-clopping in high heels or anything too noisy on the floor. So we have wooden floorboards. And that just kind of like makes it feel a little bit softer when there's a person approaching, because I know that if I go to a doctor's surgery and the door opens, sometimes it's a bit like, oh no, there's a sense of dread, you know, like, or fear. So it's got to be really soft and gentle. Like the psychologist might get down on their knees when they get into the waiting room and just kind of just really sniffing around, having a look what's going on. Are they playing with Lego or playing on the chalkboard? Like, so observing before you kind of launch into the room. And if they're sitting really close to their mom, like I always encourage, I'm always like very aware that the child wouldn't want to be separated from their parents. So to say, okay, guys, I'd love to have you both come in today. Mum, definitely, I want you to, you know, to get the mum to not have to question, is it okay if I come? Of course, you know, come on through. And the big ball of Play-Doh is just because it's cool and it's soft and it kind of just cuts through the tension. So there's no fiddling with, so for the parent, I encourage them to pick up the ball as well. So it's not like fiddling with car keys or wallet like they're about to leave the room. It's just about, let's sit down and settle. Slow our talking down so that everyone's kind of just more in the moment. And at that point, I notice that the young person looks around the room, wants to see, you know, the glitter paint or we have these big rolls of paper that are from IKEA, and they kind of come down off the wall and then along a big bench table. And we have everything set up, you know, so it's like a lolly shop, I guess, in some ways. There's like colored jars of paint and colored beads in glass jars. Yeah, and we want them to feel really intrigued by the environment. So if I follow their line of, you know, their gaze, and if they're looking at the glitter. I'll pull the glitter down onto the table and say, oh, we'll get into that soon. I can't wait to hear about you and about your story. You know, I talked to your mum last week and she told me you're really good at soccer. So I'll kind of name, you know, two or three strengths before we get into how I can help.
Love it. Yeah. You know, I had some, I guess fidget toys maybe. I was at Cracker Barrel and it's funny because I rarely went to this restaurant. It's very traditional and sort of like Southern type of cooking. You know, you get sausage and gravy on like everything type of deal and, you know, fried meats and things. It's not very healthy for you at all, but they have this place where you can, you know, buy little knickknacks and this kind of thing. And they had these wooden blocks that were tied together, you know, with a string, with some pretty good tension there. And they were just beautifully painted. And then if you manipulate them, you know, within your hands, it just helps instead of fidgeting, like you said, with the keys and stuff like that. But I wonder, you know, could we add things to our principal offices, you know, like Play-Doh or other kinds for adults and kids just to, you know, make them more at ease? Because a lot of times when they come to that office, you have a tough conversation to be had. And even in just the approach, you know, while they're waiting in the main office and that kind of thing, you know, I don't know if it's mandating what kind of shoes to wear or whatever, but just being cognizant of how intimidating and scary that the individual, the kid or the adult might be feeling, right, as you approach. Mm-hmm. And so how can you just make it a little bit easier for them, a little more compassionate, even if you have to deliver a consequence or whatever it might be?
Yeah, definitely. I love it. When we were setting up the clinic, like, so we've been going with Quirky Kid for 12 years now, and I think we'll get to the story a little bit later on, but we didn't want it to be like a principal's office. That was one thing we kind of were kind of steering away from.
What do we not want it to be? A principal's office, yeah.
That's right. It was supposed to be a nice mix between clinical and creative. And the reason we kind of, I guess, steered away from the principal's office was we didn't want them to feel intimidated or that there was a power balance. So, yeah, I understand that setting, and I'm probably just looking more at, you know, movies and things when the kids are waiting outside the office and it's like really scary. But I don't think that kids being scared is, you know, a good way to manage those big issues, you know, if it is about delivering some bad news or something. I just think, oh God, can we just try and make them as comfortable as possible so you can kind of draw out the best in them and then talk about the hard stuff, you know, so showing empathy before leading into those hard topics. Otherwise I think you get lots of resistance and anger or fear responses, and so it's just going to make the situation worse.
That's too funny that you designed your office as the antithesis of the principal's office. And unfortunately, I mean, I think that the majority of schools, you know, I still reflect that what you see in the movies, that's still how traditional schools operate. I'll tell you that in my principal experience at the last school I served at, I was really the first principal that would sit down and talk to kids just to get to know them. And during my first week, this freaked them out because the only time they did talk to the principal was, I'm in trouble and you're going to be calling my parents and I don't want that to happen. And so it was really awkward, and they just had to get to know me, right? And then the conversations flowed and the relationships were built. But to build on another part that you said and really highlight this for the listeners, I think they get it, but since it's my show, I want to absolutely make sure they get it. You know, my philosophy of leadership is you don't motivate and persuade and inspire people through using your title, using fear, using power, using gotcha moments. You know, that is not how you do it. And for me, it's by motivating through relationships, motivating through compassion, and that kind of thing. And you mentioned, you know, getting to the story of Quirky Kid. So I think this is a good place if you could tell us the story of starting Quirky Kid.
So I've been a psychologist for 22 years, and I first started in a little private practice as a sole practitioner, which was attached to a preschool. And the preschool was located in a park, and it was a really beautiful setting. But the only downside was, like, I had to manage the, you know, so you'd have your session and then ask for the money at the end of the session. And I felt kind of you know, I'd write out the receipt and things like that. I just felt like it would be more professional if there was an admin area and a, you know, a proper setup. So I always wanted to make it a little bit bigger and more dynamic with the team. That was really my goal. And then, as the story goes, I'll tell you a little bit on the personal side as well as the professional.
Sure.
I met this gorgeous Brazilian guy, Leonardo Roca, at a party, and it was a special kind of party that I used to go to. It's like a scene in Australia. We called them doofs. I don't know whether you have doofs in America exactly like this, but it's not exactly, not like a rave where there's lots of really, like, I guess it's just different type of music. Like, so raves, I imagine, have got more intense, like fluorescent kind of, I'm trying to describe the music in words. But a doof is kind of more, it does have lots of bass music, but they also use lots of, you know, like jungle, like even animal, what's the word? You know, where you have like a sound bite that they would then mix into the music. So quite organic. So anyway, instead of being in a nightclub or something like that indoors, they, this kind of group would put flyers on car windscreen, sometimes in the city. I guess that's how we eventually found it. We'd see a flyer under the windscreen saying, phone this number and go to this party. And then you drive about 2 hours south or 2 hours north of Sydney. And then you get into like beautiful bushland and you follow the directions that you've heard on the, from the answering machine that you call when you call the number. And you follow these really detailed directions to get to this little patch of bush, which is usually in a really gorgeous spot, but you don't realize that until the sun comes up. And when the sun came up this morning, so I'd been going to doofs for about like maybe a year and a half, and it's kind of a smallish scene. You'd kind of bump into the same faces, maybe 150 people. So the sun would come up and you'd just be like, yeah, just like so refreshed, because I didn't do a whole lot of dancing in the nighttime because it'd be pretty dark and cold. But by, you know, Sunday morning, you'd jump up and then like be, yeah, ready to have a boogie. So I'd have a really good dance. And that's when I met my partner, Leonardo. And so I walked past him and he just looked different. I hadn't seen him before. He's got very olivey skin and beautiful green eyes and curly hair. And I was like, if he's still there when I walk past next, I'm definitely going to say hi. So when I came back, he was there. So I said, are you having a good night? And he said, to be honest, I feel a little lost. And he was just very sweet. I was like, oh my goodness, I want to hang out with this guy.
Yeah.
So we hung out and then I found out he was a business administrator and he showed a real interest in like developing businesses. And so I was thinking this is perfect because I wanted to go from being a sole practitioner to developing something more. But of course we fell in love, and so I just lost my focus on business at this point. This is like 1998. I didn't want to be in Sydney anymore. I just wanted to get out and see the world a little bit more. So we did a 2-year round the world ticket and traveled through Cuba and Morocco and went to Brazil and met his family and India for 3 or 4 months at the end. And that's where we were in this little town up in the mountains towards the Himalayas. It's called Leh, which is L-E-H, and it's in a part of India in the Ladakhi region. So picture kind of, you know, like sort of Buddhist monasteries stuck to the side of really jagged hills, like mountains, and lots of snow caps. So walking around this little town called Leh, and I was just toying with ideas, thinking that's when I was saying I don't want to open a clinic. It's just like a principal's office. It needs to be more creative. And so we came up with this name, Quirky Kid, to kind of steer away from like a developmental clinic or anything too serious and medical as well. It was sort of in between. So Quirky Kid was like a tongue twister that we thought would be quite fun for the kids. And it was also a domain name that was available. So we went into an internet cafe and bought the domain name, then came back to Australia. I was just kind of fast track a little bit, but set up the clinic in the year 2000 and also had our first child that same year. That was my first clinic started in the year 2000. Quirky Kids started in 2007. That's right. Sorry. And Olivia, our first child, was born that same year. And yeah, so we just worked really hard. We basically raised Olivia and the clinic at the same time, did a lot of tag teaming. And my approach is well, was originally kind of around play therapy. So getting the kids to do more visual activities. So lots of drawing. So I'd start off a session and get them to draw a big circle and ask them to tell me about your world and put everything that's in your world inside the circle. So it could be like, if they don't want to write, because some of them are conscious about their spelling, it might just be a whole bunch of pictures about things that they're into, like a skateboard or a dog or their friends, family. So you're kind of learning about them. And then I'd ask them to put things that they'd rather have outside of their world on the outside of the circle. So that's where I'd be better understanding what their challenges were or what the issues might be that we had to address together. And then I might ask them to choose a different colored texture and circle the ones I'd like to talk about and a different one to say, which ones wouldn't you want to talk about? So, yeah, we do visual activities in the sessions and that proved really popular. So the clinic grew and now we've just been since, you know, building our team and a team of really beautiful psychologists that like to work the same way with children. So we have also a bunch of resources that we've developed for the school setting. So it's not just about doing small groups in the clinic, but also rolling those programs out to schools now around Australia and hopefully in America. If any of your listeners are interested, I'm going to send you a PDF that you can attach to the show notes so I can tell them a little bit more about the program that I wrote myself, which is called The Best of Friends, as well as some of the other programs that we have available at the clinic.
I think that's great. We'll get to The Best of Friends in just a second. But the one, you know, first of all, thank you for telling such a wonderful story. It came to life for me and seeing, you know, the dance and meeting Leonardo there and saying, oh, I feel a bit lost. And then the town lay in the Himalayas and everything, you know, it really, really came to life for me. So you're a wonderful storyteller. I appreciate that. And the principle that I want the listeners to really understand, there's a lot to unpack from that story, but one thing that really stood out to me is the idea of the importance of a name, right? And what we call mm-hmm. something, what we title it, how we package it. And so school leaders that are listening, maybe this is a program or an initiative that you're starting, or if you have the luxury of naming your school, you know, to use that approach too. But the name communicates something, right? And so for Kimberly, she wanted to be more friendly, fun, creative, et cetera. And Quirky Kid absolutely illustrates that. And she wanted, again, not to be representative of the principal's office. And that was just really funny and really smart. So, Kimberly, let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Best of Friends program.
Great.
Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back with Kimberly O'Brien from Quirky Kid, a wonderfully named program and clinic. And we were talking right before the break about your Best of Friends program. And could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So the Best of Friends program is a social and emotional learning program. It's designed for children aged 7 to 11 years in primary schools. And it's aligned with the school curriculum so that teachers can run that program in classrooms. It's designed around 5 stories, so it's not necessarily about talking to the children about how they can develop friendships or resolve issues in the playground. It's more looking at the characters in the story and how they go about it. So there's 4 kids that live on Quirky Lane and, 5 different stories. The first one's about meeting someone new, and so the story looks at a new kid that comes to town and then he starts going to the school with the kids. And then we pause and do activities that are quite practical. So lots of cutting and pasting just to keep the kids engaged because we know that they love doing that. We've seen that in the clinic. And so we made sure the program was really practical. And then they talk about greetings themselves, like what greetings they might use, like nonverbal greetings, like a nod or a wink or a nudge. Or more verbal greetings like, hey, how's it going? Then we move on to where you might use some of those greetings, like, for example, the library. Would you nudge the librarian or would you say good morning? So using appropriate greetings in different settings. it's useful for kids on the spectrum as well that are learning about eye contact and open body language and how to approach a group. And the next story goes on to hot and cold friendships, and it's about a girl that's leaving out her best friend to play with another more popular group. So that's an issue that we often see with the kids that come to the clinic. There's usually some friendship issues going on. So we just followed those themes and included them in the stories. And then we asked the group. So typically the group is for 4 to 6 kids in the clinic setting, but we've rolled out this program so that it can be used for a whole class. So up to, 25, 30 kids all at the same time so that it's not just the client in the clinic that's getting the benefits, but the whole school. Yeah, and so, sorry, moving on to the next part of the program is to look at negotiating and resolving conflict. And then the last story is about a sleepover and how they work together as a team to build the tent and to help one of the group members that's feeling really anxious about there's a cat rustling around outside the tent, but everyone's really understanding, and we talk about empathy. And yeah, and then the story wraps up and the program runs over 10 sessions, so 1 hour a week for 10 sessions we do. And yeah, we've just recently done some research to see whether teachers running the program have the same effects as psychologists running the program. And so far the results are really good. We do pre and post testing with the kids and the parents to see if they've noticed any differences with, some different tests to measure social and emotional learning skills. And yeah, we've found some positive results.
That's great. So, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so if any listeners want more information about the Best of Friends program, I thought I would send more information in that PDF that you can attach to your show notes. And to become a facilitator, all you need to do is to facilitate a program in your school. And one of the psychologists at Quirky Kid will be in touch with you to see how it's going in terms of, selecting participants for your group or managing any issues that come up during the running of the program. And we have 5 sessions over that 10-session program, so 5 supervision sessions of 30 minutes each. And then you become a, accredited facilitator, and you can keep running the program after that. So the books that we send to you, so each participant needs to have their own book so we can package them up and send them wherever you are around the world.
Wonderful. And like you mentioned, the PDF you sent me about the Best of Friends program, and it's extensive. It has quite a bit of detail and information in there for the listeners. We'll have that linked up under the resources section of the show note, and you can just click that link and download it. No email or anything like that required. So that'll be great. Just 2 more questions real quick, Kimberly, before we sign off. But what's one book, video, tool, or resource that has really impacted your leadership, productivity, or quality of life in the past year?
I'm going to say one podcast that's really made a difference to my life has been the Biz Chicks podcast. That's made me a better leader in the work that I do at the Quirky Kid Clinic with Natalie Ekdahl. I went to the Biz Chicks Live conference last year in LA, and I'll be back again this year because it was just wonderful to be amongst a bunch of other female entrepreneurs that have a whole bunch of different businesses and still face the same challenges, and to be led by Natalie, who's just a really caring person, and that comes across in her podcast. But also just before the conference, she was kind of sending out info like, make sure you bring a jacket before the sunset cruise. It might get cold after dark. And, those little details, Danny, mm-hmm. They make me feel like she's going to be a really caring leader. And I think that that's the kind of leadership that I bring to my team at Quirky Kid too. I want to be caring and detail focused because it makes everyone feel nurtured and comfortable. And then I notice that everyone connects to each other so much better. And that's how it was at the BizJicks Live conference. And I think it was just through that really warm, attentive leadership. That's why I think it happened that way.
That's great. Yeah. And we will link up the Biz Chicks podcast in the resource section as well. And assuming I move back to the U.S., that's something that we're going to do in the next year at Better Leaders, is to do a live event. Because when you find your tribe, right, and you connect to that group, right, to be able to connect face to face and to experience something and do something life transformational over 2 or 3 days. How long was the Biz Chicks conference?
It was 2 nights and 3 days.
Yeah. So that's something I'm imagining. I'm toying around with it in my mind. I have some models of what I want to do. But this show is about you. I'll talk about the conference, I'm sure, at some other time. But I can't wait to get that off the ground for sure. Well, Kimberly, you've been a great guest. You made it to the last question. It was quite a doozy. So looking forward to how you answer this. But you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top 3 priorities?
So when I think of a dream school, the one that came to mind, well, it already exists, but have you heard of the Green School in Bali?
I have not. So this is great. I love this question for this reason.
Yeah, it's definitely worth Googling some images, because the whole school is made of bamboo and it's just a beautiful space, like really tall, like open air kind of structures. And yeah, maybe you can do a link to that in the show notes too. I'd love to be associated with the Green School. Not that I've actually been inside it. When we visited Bali, we just looked through the gates, which are again made of bamboo, and you can sort of just see this, like, it doesn't look like many classrooms are closed. It's more, because Bali is such a warm climate, it's more just tall roofs and spaces that are out of the sun. And actually, that reminds me, when I went traveling in West Africa to Ghana when I was about 24 or something like that. And so traveling is one of those things that I really love. And I remember this swing that I saw in Ghana. It was like this really giant, like, bamboo swing that was like so tall. I think it was just like one piece of bamboo sticking up really tall, and then a rope hanging off it, or it might have been an A-frame perhaps. I'm just trying to remember how it was, but it was like a very tall swing that allowed the kids to do these like long kind of loopy, like running and leaping on the outside in the playground. So I would go with a beautiful bamboo school, lots of outdoor spaces, lots of bamboo playground equipment that's a bit bendy but safe. And I would make part of the school policy that you can travel, like, so maybe the families of the school would also be invited to go on, like, not just excursions to the museum, but to go on longer travels, so that, you know, you could even go, you know, do treks and just go a little bit further, like 2 weeks minimum, where, you know, teachers and students can kind of switch off and get into a really relaxed state of mind, and their bodies can feel really healthy from walking every day and, you know, drinking lots of water and eating healthy food and not too much of it. So you're kind of just getting into like a travel experience. And the other 2 things that I think would be important are, yeah, like I was going to say social emotional learning, because that's really important to me, like having a really good understanding and social awareness so that no one feels excluded, and emotional awareness so that you can express your own emotions using your words rather than your actions, and model that to the kids so that they can also have that skill. Because I think that's where I see lots of issues in the clinic, that they're just learning to use their words to express their emotions, which is a really tricky thing to do sometimes. And yeah, I love it when parents are modeling those skills. So if the teachers are doing the same, I think that would make my perfect school. And overall, just an overarching sense of belonging, so that whether you work at the school or whether you go there as a student or a teacher or an admin person, you just feel like you belong. And yeah, that would be my perfect school.
Kimberly, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get in touch with me is by email at Kimberly with an L-E-Y at quirkykid.com.au. If you want to email me directly, I'd be very thrilled to hear from your listeners, absolutely. Or, you know, you can visit our website at www.quirkykid.com.au. And I'd like to also keep you in the loop with my podcast that I'm launching this month. It's going to be the Quirky Kid podcast, so keep your eyes open and your ears open for that one, because I'd love to be interviewing like forward thinkers like you, Danny, and making the world a better place and making our resources more accessible and affordable for everybody.
It's awesome. Yeah, we'd love to be a guest, so we'll talk about that offline. Well, better leaders, thanks for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Kimberly. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Kimberly in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Kimberly, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
It's my pleasure.
All right, better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. And make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.